news. Holy crap, we're here. It's Mike, the Fist of Justice Slayman, with none other than...
Laura.
And it is our 100th episode. Yeah.
Yay.
One of us seems a little more excited about this than the other.
I'm fixing my nails.
Well, what... You know when we start the show and I'm like, hey, are you ready? And you're like, yep. Then we start the show and then you're like, I'm not ready because I'm doing something else completely.
Well, no, you don't understand. These might be the nicest my fingernails have ever looked, and I don't want to, like, let this manicure go before it's time.
You don't want to let it go before it's time.
They're beautiful. They're so pretty. They look like unicorn farts.
What?
Look at them. Look at them.
Okay.
They're beautiful.
Okay. I believe you.
They took a lot of time and effort, and I never want them to be anything but what they are right now. It is my most liked picture on Instagram, too.
Oh, really? Well, isn't that fantastic? Why don't you just, like, get them tattooed on your nails?
You can't do glitter tattoos on fingernails.
I know. Well, if I guess at least you'll always have your Instagram photo.
I'll just keep doing this manicure forever. It's pretty fun.
Right. But I mean, it'll never be... You'll always have the perfect version of it because of the picture. Anyway, hey, holy crap, it's our 100th episode.
So I'm just going to say I did these nails in celebration of that.
Hooray!
Hooray!
So did you think that when we started this, we'd be still going at 100? Or do you think that we would have fizzled out like... at like 20 or something.
Knowing us, yeah.
Well, you know what? We had our moments. Do you remember that? I don't know if you recall. There was a period where it'd be like every 2 weeks per episode.
And... Well, that was mostly my fault because I was having a real shit time at work. And
yeah.
I didn't have any energy to try and like do it at the time. So I just was like, I don't want to.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, I won't ask you then. And then I didn't ask you to do a show. And then you were like, well, why don't we do one? And then I was like, oh, I didn't think you wanted to do it.
I know. It was yeah. It's not my fault. It was my shitty work situation's fault that gave me, you know, really bad depression.
Right. But you know what? You're not there anymore, so
Yay!
Let's not worry about that. Yay! Also, here's another fun question for you. At 100 episodes in, did you think we would still have this title?
Yes. Knowing us, yes.
If I remember correctly, it was episode 10 that we were supposed to have a new title by. And we were going to do all sorts of like, hey, everybody, submit your guesses or your names, your suggestions. And I can't remember a single suggestion. And I can't remember a single name that we even considered.
Me either.
The Untitled Mike and Laura Project just kind of stuck. And here we are, 100 episodes later. In our mad rush to get a show out to you guys as quickly as possible when the inspiration hammer hit, we just didn't name the show and it continued to have this.
Hey, it works for us.
It works because it's, you know what, it's an untitled project because it's not really about anything in particular.
Nope. We just yammer on about this, that, and everything, and it's usually fairly nerdy.
I told you about where I got the name idea from, right?
Probably, but I probably forget.
It was, at the time, I had been on IMDb, and you remember the movie Shark Night 3D?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, when I went on IMDb, that movie had been called Untitled Shark Project. And I'm like, that's a fun name. And it turns out that's whatever they call like any movie project that doesn't quite have a name yet. They just call it the Untitled Whatever Project. And it's usually the name of like the director or like a contributing feature, like in the case of this, Sharks. So that's what the inspiration was the Untitled Shark Project. It was like Untitled Shark Attack Project or something like that. But
brilliant.
Yeah, so that's where the inspiration came from. And then you and I were talking about doing the podcast. It was Con Bravo. Was it three Con Bravos ago
yep.
now? Three Con Bravos ago.
Cron Bravo?
Cron.
It sounds perfectly cromulent.
Cromulent word. Three Con Bravos ago.
You almost said cunt.
No, I did not, actually. That's where the inspiration hit when I did that panel with Dodd, and it was about, like, being in the media and like, just going for it. And then you and I were like... know,
let's
I'm
just
really
go for it.
I'm really inspired to do a show. And we were like, people we know or think we're funny, so let's do a show. And apparently
they mostly
out.
Think I'm funny.
Yes, that's right. I'm not funny. It's just you.
Just me. I'm pretty funny. You know who?
You're laughing at yourself. You're just like, oh, you know how great I am?
No, I just say some of the things I come up with, like obviously I'm
like
not...
Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they sucked.
No, I just, sometimes my sense of humor kind of reminds me of Gina from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, okay.
Just that real, like, sarcastic, mm-hmm. like, super funny, and when I'm pretending to be an idiot, mm-hmm. but I'm not actually.
What was the one thing you said about school that Trevor turned into, like, a poster? That it was like, I spent how many years going to school so that I could prove that I went to school good? Or whatever
I do
it was.
School good.
I do school good, yeah.
Yeah, I spent like $20,000 in 4 years to prove I could do school good or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what a university degree is.
What else was there? Because I know there's been like image things that people have sent in to us.
Yeah,
because
I'm hilarious.
There was Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they suck. Hey, something I said kind of came off as a catchphrase for the show for a very long time. Which was, oh my goodness. It's been a long time.
You didn't even come up with oh my goodness.
Well, I was one
that
said it.
Didn't.
That old lady came up with it. She came up with our most popular catchphrase.
I don't know if I should tell this story.
Oh, okay. What's the story?
It was about from when we were watching Raw the other night.
Oh, come on. Don't tell that story.
Well, you weren't even making fun of the guy. You were just like, man, Cena's giving that guy all
okay,
that
okay, first
stuff.
Of all, we were watching a stream of the Elimination Chamber.
That was it. It was because I...
And the quality was not fantastic. And there was a guy in the front row who... It was a kid in the front row.
He was littler than most of the other people.
Yes.
So you could easily assume he was a child.
I could easily assume he was a child. And he already had a ton of Cena merchandise.
He was wearing Cena from head to toe.
Yes.
And Cena hands him all the merch. Because Cena... That man wears so much fucking merchandise.
I know.
It makes me kind of want to puke. And Mike was like, that kid's already got a bunch of Cena stuff. He doesn't need more. And I'm like, babe, he's got Down syndrome. And it was an adult man with Downs. And the guy, and Cena, very nicely, but you couldn't tell because that stream
was
super
blurry.
Like blurry. But it was the only stream we could find that wasn't choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to actually pay money for this pay-per-view because we're
right.
So I mean, beggars can't be choosers.
Right.
So you could not tell.
I could not tell.
You couldn't tell until they zoomed in on the guy.
Yes.
So I thought he was a kid too, but I didn't say anything.
No.
Because you were too busy like that stupid kids getting all this more Cena crap.
Yeah.
Stupid suck up. I was like, you're making fun of the guy with Down syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you haven't let me live that down since.
It was just because like. We noticed at the exact same time because
yeah.
the camera focused in on him and then you could see him because mostly he was actually blocked by Cena too. You
this
couldn't tell until Cena walked away and they zoomed in on the guy. And it was just this perfect timing of me calling you out on it even though I was about to say the same thing but I didn't because you were busy talking.
Yes.
And it was just really funny.
Yeah.
So I've made fun of you ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean it.
I know.
And you obviously you weren't even making fun of the kid. You were calling Cena out.
I was calling Cena out for just giving all of his merchandise to someone who already had all of his merchandise.
Wouldn't you, though? Like, if it was some guy with Down syndrome and you were super famous and had merch?
Well,
wouldn't you hand him all your merch? I would.
Okay.
But my merch would look like this.
It would be glitter fingers?
Well, mostly this awesome... Light purple,
you're gonna give glitter fingers to men
no,
with Down syndrome.
It's an ombre nail color, but no. If I had a uniform, because the girls.
So
were,
hold on.
No,
hold
if
on.
I
Are
was
you
a
saying
diva, if I was a diva,
uh-huh.
and no, you know what? As much as I like these, it probably wouldn't compliment my. Complexion.
What if?
Do you think this compliment my complexion if I wore it as a unitard?
Sure.
You don't know shit.
I don't fucking know. You're asking me to picture, like, less than an inch of space covering your entire body.
You have to have that ombre to it, too.
Uh-huh.
It goes from
That's,
light to dark.
Yeah,
like
anyway. I was going to say, what if your merchandise was a big foam hand with glitter fingers?
I was going to say yes, but then all I can think of is Miley Cyrus jerking off with it.
And
right. I'm like, no, foam fingers are out this year.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway...
Now
in other news, 100th episode. Yay!
So pretty.
Okay. Am I gonna have to get the laser pointer and keep you focused over here?
I can't help it that I'm gorgeous.
With it being our 100th episode, we wanted to celebrate, and apparently you guys did too, and we actually got a bit of preemptive feedback, some well-wishers on this, our 100th episode, and, well, not the 100th feedback attack, but, you know, it's in there. It's a large number of feedback attacks.
It would be like 99th.
Well, we didn't have feedback for every single episode, but what I'm saying is it's a fair amount of feedbacks. So, feedback attack. All right. So, first of all, let's take a look at this email from Vacuuminator. Vacuuminator sent in some preemptive well wishes. He sent in, "Hey, Mike and Laura, just wanted to drop by and leave you a message and say congrats on reaching 100 episodes. That is a milestone if I've ever seen one, from where I'm standing, especially since all the different shows I've done, we've never got more than 40 episodes." So he tapped out at 40.
If you do one a week, that's almost a year.
Almost a year. What if that's 40 is over like 3 years?
That's still a lot.
That's true.
I mean, good for him. 40 is more than most podcasts reach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling that number out of my ass.
Yes.
But I'm going to say conclusively that most podcasts fizzle out about episode 23.
How many podcasts do you listen to?
A lot.
Name one.
The Untitled Mike Miller Project.
You don't even listen to that one. You're full of so much shit. Like it's coming out your eyeball socket.
I've listened to a couple recently. I listened to that one movie one.
What was it called?
The Thing, but it had Sleepaway Camp.
The Thing, but it had Sleepaway Camp. That's not with what the name of the podcast was. What was the name of the podcast?
How did that get made?
Close enough. How did this get made?
Whatever.
Close enough. And name another podcast.
I have listened to a couple of guys' podcasts that were wrestling related recently.
Like what?
I don't know the names of them. I was just Googling Roman Reigns podcast. For research purposes.
For research purposes?
For my t-shirt idea.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway. You're ridiculous.
I can't help it. I have a crush.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, even though I've only been here since episode 20 or so, it feels like 100, since you guys always manage to pack so much fun into every episode, and I trust this one will be no exception. I must say I'm very much looking forward to the next 100 episodes, but until then, this is Vacuuminator wishing you guys, wishing your still untitled project a happy 100th episode. So that's from Vacuuminator. You're texting!
I'm not. I'm tweeting one of our listeners.
Are you tweeting Vacuuminator?
I'm tweeting Neil Sema.
Neil Sema, who we will be talking about in just a minute because he wrote in feedback too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how about in the meantime, we talk about Alex, who likes to send in feedback from time to time. If you're a regular listener of the show, you've probably heard Alex's name before. But hey, this is what he sent in. Congratulations on making it to the 100th episode. Yay! It takes dedication and man/woman power to get there. I'm so proud of you guys. I might as well give you feedback if you want.
We do want.
Well, yeah,
we do want.
That's
why we ask for.
It took me four times.
Mike's talking.
Holy shit, that just went down the wrong hole. It was just... I don't know what happened right there. It took me four times to listen to the entirety of the Bourbon Christmas special, and it was totally worth it. I'm going to grab a bottle of vodka this Friday to celebrate something. Well, there you go. Just don't do as many shots as Laura did in as many moments of
never
time.
Do as many shots as Laura did. Oh, my God. I'm never getting drunk again.
You say that.
I meant it last time, too, but I mean it even more this time.
Right.
The last time... I meant it, and I mean it more so now.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to crash the Bourbon Christmas next year?
I'll crash it, but I won't get smashed. Oh, my God. Every hangover I have is worse than the last one. I'm never having another hangover. I have a glass of wine, and I get a mild hangover.
Okay. One glass?
I get dehydrated, and then I get a
migraine. Drink water, jerk face.
Yeah, but it dehydrates me.
Water dehydrates you?
No, but then I just drink tea.
You could probably... Isn't fucking tea just water?
It can be a bit of a diuretic.
What?
A diuretic. Makes you pee.
Oh. Okay, like diarrhea? Is that what, that's why it's diuretic? I don't know. Sounds similar. Diarrhea? Diarrhea is usually pretty watery.
Slipping through the gutter like a piece of bread and butter. Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Okay.
Can't help it.
I know. It took me... Sorry, I'm reading the wrong paragraph. I'm doing 4 in February as well.
Mike's not going to make it.
It'll be close. If I don't play tonight or tomorrow, then I'm not making it. I've been focusing on my PlayStation Plus backlog for my Vita. I passed through Golden Abyss, my first Uncharted game, and I'm left with a bittersweet reaction. If it's your first Uncharted game, I could see why. Golden Abyss is fun, but it's no 2 or 3. Uncharted 2 or 3, that's where it's at. Uncharted 3 is a PlayStation Plus game. Go grab it, stupid. I mean, we love you. Thanks for listening. Rayman Legends, solid platformer, and Gravity Rush. I started that one in January, and I can't wait for its sequel. Gravity Rush is pretty awesome, babe. That's the one with Kat, the floaty girl.
Yeah, I would like to play it, but you won't let me play it because you've always got it with you.
Yeah, because I play my Vita a lot.
And you've got a 3DS now, too. You don't need to take both of them to work every day.
I suppose.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to take your gaming systems with you to work tomorrow?
I was planning on it.
I was actually going to suggest you don't.
Why?
So that way, if you accidentally forgot something at work, it wouldn't be one of your games.
Okay. But I always remember that I have, except that one time. Thanks for the eye rolling.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Are you just trying to be helpful in the sense of you want to play Gravity Rush tomorrow?
No, I got work to do tomorrow. I'm actually just trying to help you. I meant to say that like a week ago.
I see.
I just remember now. Because I love you, and I'm looking out for you because I love you. But mm-hmm. If you don't want to listen to me, that's fine.
Trying to play Guacamole, but I don't think I'm
like
going to make it.
Guacamole.
I think that's the point. It's a Mexican wrestler game.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Guacamole is one of the tastiest things on the planet.
I've heard Guacamole is a really good game, but I've also heard it's very hard. So I haven't.
Well, it depends if it has cilantro in it.
Hilarious. Yeah, that's it for me. Congrats again, and hope for another 100 more if you feel like it. P.S. Congrats on your writing milestone you posted on Tumblr, Laura.
Oh, thank you.
So I guess Alex follows you on Tumblr?
I guess.
Tumblr shout out. What's your Tumblr?
It's like everything else. It's Laura Raptor. What are you going to do?
Is it underscore or just Laura
underscore.
Raptor?
Underscore. But if you just Google Laura the Raptor or Laura Raptor, you're going to end up finding me. I mean, I'm kind of on a lot of social networks, but you won't find me on Reddit using that. So.
What was the milestone you posted on? Yeah, how much money you made? Or
I think I'm able to pay my rent this month solely with writing money, which is a pretty big deal.
Nice. So. High five.
Look, the number's right there.
That is a high number.
I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, you did a good job.
But I want it to be higher.
Well, obviously. More money, more problems.
Which is why I'm keeping track of my sales so I can know if I'm actually making more money over time.
More money, more problems.
Should make a chart.
Perhaps so. Well, you have PowerPoint. We can make a chart in it. Anyway, let's talk about that. More talk about feedback. So that was Alex's letter, and we got some audio feedback from Mr. Deal. Who knows? Maybe it's the legendary, fabled reel of you hitting me. It's probably not, because actually somebody on the Facebook page quoted to Neil that's what episode 100 should be, is the reel of you hitting me.
Oh, you guys are such babies. I don't hit you that much.
Not anymore, because you sit too far away and you're always doing your nails around your phone.
Shush.
Back in the early days when we only had one microphone, you used to be cuddled up right next to me and it was a lot easier to hit me.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you should stop doing stuff that make you deserve to get hit.
What do I do? I don't remember everything. Everything makes me get
you
hit.
You make fun of my pretty toenails.
I didn't say a damn word about your pretty toenails.
Pretty pretty.
Anyway, let's get to Neil's feedback.
100! 100 nose wiggles like I'm a little bunny! 100! I lost count around 51.
Hey, Mike and Laura. TV's Mr. Neil here. Well, you've made it. Episode 100. You've made 100 of these things. You remember that domestic violence compilation I was going to do where Laura hits Mike and it was just going to be this big, wacky, long compilation thing? Well, I would have loved to have done that, but as Mike alluded to on a previous episode, it happened so often that I just kind of gave up. And besides, domestic violence is not a laughing matter. No, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, goodness!
So, Laura, that forced feminization story you're doing, you know, I had a question about that, but I think I'll leave it in the body of the email so that you're not giving away any spoilers for your own story. You can just say yes or no, and no one will know what we're even talking about. You can probably tell that I've been hanging around Kitty Hawk a little too long, sgby.com. Oh, that gives me an idea. One of you writes erotic stories, and the other one is a comic artist, right? So why don't you team up and do erotic comics? I'm sure Mike would have no problem with that whatsoever.
Oh, no!
Catch you guys later. TV's Mr. Neil, signing off.
Okay, well... Oh, it's still going.
Oh, God! Oh, goodness! Oh! Oh, no! Oh, goodness! Oh, no! Oh!
Okay. Anyway, doing an erotic comic together.
Okay, first I want to answer his question.
Oh,
the answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
Which is in the body email.
Yes.
I don't say it's that spoilery, but the answer is yes.
Okay.
And if he wants a copy, he can request it, and we will see what we can hook him up with.
Well, okay, yeah.
Anyway, when it comes to teaming up together to possibly do an erotic comic,
yep.
Which, you know, they're already written. Mike would just have to draw them.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike wouldn't draw them.
I haven't drawn naked people since college.
It's not just that, but Mike doesn't draw stuff that he didn't write.
Yeah, it's true. Except that one time.
It's hard enough to get him to do a t-shirt design for me.
I did draw, actually, years ago. A friend of mine who draws a comic called Gilded Age. That's guild as in...
Guild Wars.
Like Guild Wars. He and I actually were working together. He picked me to be the artist who drew the ending to his comic. When he decided he was going to end that, he wrote it and I was drawing it. And he, in lieu of payment, he gave me ownership of one of his characters. I haven't used it, but maybe one day. And what ended up happening was we didn't actually do it. Like, he decided he didn't want to finish it. The problem was is that it was a story about with real people in it. And over the course of him writing the ending, there was, like, a falling out with one of the people. And he was just like, well, I don't even want to bother trying to, operate around this minefield. So he didn't. And we didn't. That none of that work ever saw the light of day. Although I do still have it on this computer.
Wah, wah.
Yep. So yeah. But other than that, no, I haven't done any.
Yeah, you don't like people have approached you before, and I've asked you to do stuff before, and you just don't do anything that you haven't come up with yourself.
Yep. Thanks for getting me in shit there, Mr. Neil, on our 100th episode. Because now I'm getting nothing but grump faces and dirty looks and eye rolls and...
Well?
Well, what?
I don't know. I don't know why you're so picky.
How about this? Give me something I want to draw, and then we'll talk about doing a collaboration.
What if I were to write a story where Robocop fights Godzilla?
That'd be probably pretty cool.
And then they end up doing it. Could you imagine? I get like 30 pages into writing the script for this, and the next thing you know, Robocop's taking off his like suit, and Godzilla's all hard, and
oh my
they
God.
End up doing it, and you'd be like, well, this story isn't going to finish.
Nope. Yeah. Thanks. And thank you for your feedback there, Mr. Neil. Thank you for at least attempting the slappingness.
That was pretty good.
That was good. So, yeah, there's that. So, there you go. There's our all feedback from all our fans for our 100th episode.
Yay!
Woo! So I guess, since we have a topic this week, I think it's time for something that over the years, I guess years, kind of faded away in the show. When we go to the topic, you know, we haven't done in a long time.
The topic time?
The topic time jingle.
Whose fault is that?
Me, because I'm too lazy to fucking play it. And then we just stopped doing it. So I'm going to dust it off for our 100th episode. And for one more time, let's sing along to that song.
Topic time!
A little rusty.
You know why I might have stopped doing it?
Because you didn't like singing over it?
No, more that I stopped watching Jersey Shore.
Wait, what? Wait, hold on a second. No, what's the story here?
Vinny and Pauly D.
And T-shirt time?
Was sang T-shirt time.
So wait. The only reason you sang the topic time jingle was because you watched Jersey Shore and it was T-shirt time.
Yes.
Really?
Well, it was catchy.
But that's... Was it to that tune? Because yeah. You sang it over the end of an actual song that we played on the show.
Yeah, but that's why it just fit so well.
It fit. Fucking T-shirt time. There's been a Jersey Shore thing in our fucking show for...
I don't think anybody else realized it but me.
And it's a good thing we dusted it off for this episode.
I'm glad I told you.
Because it's going right back into the goddamn closet.
You still love me?
Eh, we'll see. That's now. Had we been sitting closer, that's when I would have got hit. Ow!
For old time's sake.
There's one for your montage that will never get completed. Ow!
There.
I'm just gonna make a new montage right
now.
There you go. So for this week's episode, we decided that we wanted to have a topic that resonated with us. We've kind of mentioned on this topic before. In other shows, but we haven't actually devoted a topic to this thing. And with the new movie out, it seemed like it was time
to
do a show about RoboCop. Mm-hmm. I'd buy that for a dollar.
I wouldn't buy that for a dollar.
Well, hold on to your thoughts. Hold on to your movie thoughts. We'll get to that stuff at the end because spoilers and people might not have seen it even though this is like the third week it's been out. We'll put that shit at the end. And in the meantime, we can talk about some of the other aspects of RoboCop, which may be a bit more loved, I guess, is a good way to put it. Does that work for you? You're just rolling your eyes. Are you on your phone now?
No.
Anyway, I'm Laura, and I'm a fart.
No, I'm not.
Okay. How about we start it off with the original 1987 masterpiece of RoboCop?
I guess.
Well, it seems like the best place to start, right? We have talked about RoboCop a fair bit on the show before, so we don't have to go into too much detail. I think I've made it known on the show a few times that when I first saw RoboCop, it was on a tape that my parents taped off television, and the version that I saw was severely edited, and it wasn't until I bought it on DVD many years later I saw what it was really like, because a lot had been changed and edited.
I think a lot of kids can say the same thing.
Yeah, so, but...
You've talked about that before on the show.
That's what I just finished saying that before I said that bit. You weren't even paying attention. You were like, look at my glitter feet.
Now they match my fingers.
Oh, my God, really? So you tuned out what I was saying to just fucking talk about your glitter feet. Not even talk about, just think about your glitter feet.
They're pretty.
Do you even want to be here?
Yes.
Should the next 100 episodes just be the mic show?
No, because it would be boring.
Fuck you.
Told you I'm the funny one.
Shut up.
You walked right into that.
Yeah, well, if it was the show where you were the host and I was the one that was tagging up on shit, then maybe I would be the funny one.
You're not the host.
Take it away. What are we talking about?
We're talking about RoboCop.
Take the show. The reins are yours because you're the host.
Well, this isn't my topic. Co-host, babe. And then associate co-captain.
Okay. What are your memories of the first RoboCop? Like, obviously, I'm a big fan.
I think I watched it as a kid, and mm-hmm. same like way you did, in that I saw it, but it was super edited.
Right.
But if I did, I don't really remember. So, generally, the first time I actually watched it that counts would be with you on DVD. And the thing that stood out for me most about the movie was what a hipster Red Foreman was.
He had a scarf.
He was a friggin' hipster in the 80s.
Yeah.
How is that a thing?
Maybe he's a time traveler.
Maybe.
Some hipster from now is going to go back in time and be Red Foreman.
What?
So, yes, original RoboCop, much loved by us all. Me more than you, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, that is such a given.
Yes. RoboCop 2, which came out in 1990. Now, that was the story of the continuing adventures of RoboCop, policeman Alex Murphy, who is now a robot cop. And yes, I do say. I realized after we talked about the first movie just now, we didn't even talk about anything in it, like the plot. So for anyone, for some reason, who hasn't seen RoboCop, might be just be like, oh, okay, so it was a violent movie that they saw edited versions of, because other than that, we didn't really talk about it at all.
Well, no. One, who hasn't heard of RoboCop?
True.
Like, but seriously, I knew the general plot of RoboCop before I saw RoboCop. The title is the general plot of RoboCop.
RoboCop is one of those movies that is, if you don't know what it is just from the title... It's like Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah. Yes. I want to watch Snakes on a Plane.
Anyway, RoboCop 2, oddly enough, about RoboCop 2.
There's two RoboCops?
There's two RoboCops. You've seen RoboCop 2. I've shown you RoboCop 2.
Wait, is there actually two RoboCops?
Yes. Babe, we've watched RoboCop 2 together.
I don't remember a damn thing about
it. Oh, my God. RoboCop 2 is the one where there's a drug war, and they take... the drug addict guy, and they make him into a super huge robot that's controlled by drugs. You don't remember this at all.
Not a moment of it.
Oh my fucking God.
Were
you on your fucking phone and doing your nails the whole time?
Might have been. Was Lewis in it?
Yes, Lewis was in it.
Sorry.
Oh,
I don't remember
my
a damn
God.
Thing about it.
Jesus.
I remember the first one really well.
Because we've probably watched it more than once.
Yeah, you've made me watch it a couple times.
I made you watch it? Do you not like fucking RoboCop?
I like RoboCop, okay. It's not my number one favorite action movie from the 80s, but it's pretty okay. Die Hard's number one, by the way.
Well, yeah.
John McClane's my favorite.
If I'd known.
Bruce Willis is my favorite
actor. If I'd known you hadn't given a shit about RoboCop at all.
You know who would make the new RoboCop better? Jason Statham, speaking of action stars.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes everything better. I'm
right.
still waiting for a Jason Statham production of Jason
Statham
in
Jason Statham, the movie.
Well, directed by
Jason Statham.
I would watch the shit out of that. But he's got to say things like, I now pronounce you man and knife.
Classic.
Now I want to watch Expendables 2.
Because
it's way better than the first one.
Anyway, not a lot of people love RoboCop 2. I'm a fan.
I obviously didn't like
it
very much.
Obviously, you give a fucking shit. Jesus.
You're like mad.
What? You just like completely blocked out ever watching it.
Maybe it was that bad.
It's not bad.
Maybe I had like...
Remember there's a part in it where like the company decides that RoboCop is too violent and they give him a shit ton of new directives and he's like really weird and he's like there's kids like doing crime and he's telling them about like bike safety and shit. And they're, like, spray-painting his face and stuff, and he's just like, that's not very nice. You don't remember that. You don't remember any of this shit. Fuck. We're going to have to watch RoboCop 2 again. Oh,
I mean,
my God.
I remember
God.
All of it. I remember
oh
it all,
my God.
Every moment. That moment you just mentioned, I remember that.
Describe it again.
There was a guy spray-painting
You're
RoboCop.
Done. You're already fucking failed. You didn't even pay attention to my
there was
recap.
Kids. It was
you didn't
kids.
Even pay attention to the recap.
And they gave him new directives, and he was spray painting children. I knew that was wrong. It was a kid.
Oh my God. RoboCop 3.
That I know I haven't seen.
No, you have not seen that because I haven't forced you to watch World Warcraft 3. Maybe I should... No, but it.
I think I've asked you that every time. That
you
Robocop
have every
3
time.
Has come
every time RoboCop 3
is on Netflix.
Every time RoboCop 3 is mentioned, you do we own that? No, and there's a reason we don't own it is because it's really bad.
Oh, you don't love me anymore.
No, I don't. This episode is officially the last episode because we can't love each other anymore because you don't love RoboCop.
No.
Okay, we can still be together, but you have to watch RoboCop 3.
No.
Okay, well, RoboCop 3, the reason RoboCop 3 is awful is because they made it for kids. RoboCop was popular because he had like a TV show, he had a cartoon, and the cartoon was awful. But he also had like, RoboCop was popular because RoboCop was cool. You know how RoboCop's cool?
Mm-hmm.
Are you checking your phone still? Come on.
I got an email.
I get emails during the show too, but I don't answer them during the show.
I didn't answer it.
You were about to.
I know.
Anyway.
I start it for later.
I'm rubbing my face.
RoboCop 3 was awful, so let's move on to the series.
But you gotta know about shit that's in it that's awful. Like the fucking ninja.
How could a ninja be bad?
It's a bad ninja. RoboCop, okay, first of all, you know how fast RoboCop moves, right?
Not very.
Yeah, now they make him fight a ninja.
Prepare for trouble?
Oh my god, what is he, fucking Team Rocket?
What?
Prepare for trouble? Make it double? Did you not notice you were saying the Team Rocket fucking pledge?
No.
The only thing it was missing was fucking Meowth. That's right.
Meowth's awesome.
He's in RoboCop 3, as it turns out.
No, he's not. What are you talking about?
So anyway, he fights a ninja. Rip Torn is in it.
Rip Torn's in a lot of stuff to pay for his alcoholism.
Yeah, this is probably one of those things. It's not even the same guy playing RoboCop.
Oh.
It's,
Well, after the first two times having to be in that suit, I wouldn't want to be in it again either.
Yeah, but it's a different RoboCop. Lewis is in it. It's the same Lewis.
But she didn't have to wear the cop outfit.
What?
Well, that's why I wouldn't be in it more than twice.
Wait. Oh, I see. You mean the RoboCop outfit?
Yeah.
Because she did wear a cop outfit because she's a cop in the fucking movie.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to force you to watch this now.
No, you're not.
Yes.
No.
I'm. Everybody send in feedback requesting a commentary of RoboCop 3 with us. Because that's how we'll end up watching it.
Oh my god.
My life is awful.
It is.
Anyway, RoboCop, past the movies, has had a lot of other spin-offy things. Like I said, there was cartoons. There was two cartoons. There was RoboCop the series. Actually, no, there was... No, RoboCop the series was the live-action show. There was Prime Directives. No, that's another fucking TV show. There's just an animated series, and then there was fucking Alpha Commando. Those were the two shows. There was two cartoons.
There's two cartoons?
There's two cartoons.
I knew of one cartoon.
There's one that takes place before, like, they did it before RoboCop 3, which is why RoboCop 3 is for kids, because it was a cartoon. And there's another one that came later, which they try to, like, reboot it, which is really weird because it's not fucking RoboCop. It's Inspector Gadget. Like, in Alpha Commando, he has, like, roller skates and shit.
I think that's kind of cool. You know what make a great kids cartoon?
What?
Die Hard.
Rambo was a kids cartoon.
That I knew.
Rambo was a kids cartoon.
Kids cartoons were better
in the 90s. Do you know how close we came to having an Aliens kids cartoon?
I hope close.
Very close.
Wow.
There's a toy line.
Yeah.
From Kenner.
Yeah.
I think it was Kenner. Anyway. If you saw the toy line, it had like weird versions of like Ape Hone and Hicks and Bishop. Bishop looked like fucking crazy.
Bishop was crazy.
Ripley was the only character that actually looked correct. And there was like comic books that came with the figures, and apparently this the story of the comic books was also apparently what the animated series was going to be, but for whatever reason, the animated series fell through.
What else would be a good... Expendables would be a good kids
movie. Yeah.
Also, Crank.
Crank.
Especially that part where Jason they do it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because like, parents would have no concern about the violence, but it'd be him doing her in the parking lot that would be really upset people.
Right.
Which is the stupidest thing.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So there was two RoboCop cartoons. And they were both bad. They're both really bad.
Like, you're like, they're bad.
They're bad. There was RoboCop the series, which was live action. And it was both RoboCop TV shows, because there's been two, essentially. It was Prime Directives, which was the second one. And then there was RoboCop the series. They're both Canadian productions.
Nirvana?
I don't know if it's Nirvana, but they were filmed in Canada. There's a slew of Canadian actors in them.
Well, they weren't really... filmed? Live-action ones?
Yeah, the live-action ones.
Well, a lot of shows are filmed in Canada.
Yeah.
X-Files started in Canada. The first, like, six seasons were Canadian.
Obviously, the RoboCops from both of these shows are not Peter Weller again.
Again, would you want to wear that suit?
Well, it's a TV show. You knew he wasn't going to be in it. But, yeah, there's some weird stuff in this series. I have the entire series on DVD. There's an episode where Roddy Piper shows up and he dresses up like a cartoon character, and then there's like he's a superhero. And then there's like half the episode is a cartoon because it's supposedly like the adventures of Captain whoever the fuck he is. But it's really weird because it's Roddy Piper dressed as a superhero. Do you even know who fucking Roddy Piper is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Roddy Piper. He's gonna be on Legends House.
Okay. I'm glad you at least know who fucking he is.
Is Lewis in it?
No. There's a different character who's in place of Lewis.
Is it a girl?
Yes.
Okay.
There's also like an AI character that's like a girl in a red dress that like shows up in the early versions of the
like
internet.
Alice?
What, from fucking Resident Evil?
Oh, wait, no, she wore a red dress, but the queen didn't wear it.
She's like a hologram thing.
Yeah, and I was melding the two characters together.
You were. But, yeah, no, there's like a hologram character in that show, too. And there's a kid sidekick, which is weird.
Oh, my God, is he like shortstop?
No, it's a little girl.
Little girl?
Yeah. There's a lot of girls in RoboCop, apparently.
Good! Yeah, like a bad thing, you jerk.
No, it wasn't saying it like a bad thing. I was saying it as like a I just realized thing. Don't roll your eyes at me, bitch. I hit again. So Prime Directives was another show, which was actually notable for the fact that other RoboCops showed up in it.
Well, you'd think if they were having such success with one RoboCop, they would make more than one.
Yeah, they did in a movie called RoboCop 2, which someone doesn't remember in the slightest. Yeah.
Well, you'd think they'd make more than two.
Hmm. In this one, he has
like
a partner.
One per city.
He has a partner named John Cable, and then Cable dies, and then they make RoboCable. And
oh my
it's
like Cable from X-Men.
No, it's a black guy.
So it's Cable from X-Men.
Cable from X-Men is black. You think of Bishop.
Oh my God, I am. Ah. Oops.
Yes. So Cable.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
His name's Robo Cable.
They actually call him Robo Cable.
They call him Robo Cable.
That's lame. But I guess to keep people from being confused.
Yes. He's basically in the exact same suit, except it's different colors. Like, you know how
colors,
the RoboCop.
Is it pink and blue?
No. It's. Okay, you know how the. You know how the RoboCop suit is like silver over black, right?
Yeah, I can see your RoboCop toy from here.
It's the opposite. It's black over silver.
Why? Because he's black?
I don't know. They just did a different color scheme.
Probably so you could tell them apart.
Yeah.
They should have had a gold and red.
So you could really tell them apart?
So he'd be Iron Man.
Right. He could be Iron Man. Which Obama is making, apparently. Didn't you see that? It was all over the fucking news today.
I was busy doing work.
You seem to know everything that happened on Squared Circle Reddit.
I was on there for like 5 minutes before you got home.
Anyway, Obama was doing a speech and he was talking about like the internet, and then as a joke he threw in that they're making Iron Man. And everybody laughed. And then he's like, I'm just kidding. Maybe. It's classified.
That's basically. Did you hear about that guy who got like in shit? for posting a GIF on his university's like forum of that one that people have done, that it's Obama kicking the door open.
He got in shit for that?
He got in shit for posting that. He didn't make it. He just posted it because it's a microaggression against black people. And it's like, how?
That
it's
makes Obama look like a boss.
Yeah! No, he had to apologize for his microaggression. Microaggression is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. It's either passive-aggressive I get. I can be very passive-aggressive. I make passive-aggressive notes. Microaggression? What the fuck is a microaggression?
A bunch of bullshit, sounds like.
It sounds like a bunch of bullshit. Now, if anybody who's listening is like, well, microaggression is blah, 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 write in, and I will send you a passive-aggressive response.
Right.
Because it's the stupidest thing ever. I can understand if it was like, but it's like, well, it's not offensive per se, but it's micro-offensive, so we're calling it micro, because people with micro-sized brains might not understand.
I see.
Idiots.
So, RoboCop. Before we get into talking about the new movie,
you
though.
You brought up Obama.
Yeah, but I didn't expect you to go into a rant about microaggression. Anyway, the show's differ episode-wise from, like, bad to good-ish. One in the original series, like, the series, not the Prime Directive one, there's, like, bad guys of the week, like, cartoon villains. It's weird. One of the characters, I can't, what was his name? It's, like, Pudface or some shit. Like, it's... He's like a mutant
Pud
man.
Pudface?
I don't think it's Pudface. But apparently, the same guy shows up. I get it. The same guy.
That'd be a great villain.
Pudface. The same guy shows up in one of the cartoons, too. But yeah, no, there's this weird villain.
Red Foreman show up?
No, Red Foreman. Red Foreman is dead!
You never know. He could be a RoboCop.
He's going to come back and be Robo Red Foreman?
Yeah.
Robo Foreman?
Robo Red.
Rubble Red, okay.
And he can call everybody dumbass.
Dumbass.
There will be dumbass.
Dead or alive, you're coming with dumbass.
No, dead or alive, you're coming with me, dumbass. Uh-huh. You gotta do it right.
Right, right. So before we get into that, I just really wanted to, or like the new movie, I mean. Very quickly, video games. There's a fair amount of video games.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we own any?
We own one. I'm not going to make you play it.
What is it?
It's RoboCop versus Terminator.
For?
The Super Nintendo.
Who wins?
RoboCop, I guess, because you can only play as RoboCop.
Oh.
Unless Terminator wins because you give up because it's really fucking hard.
So it sounds like the kind of game I'd give up after one level?
You probably.
What's the most recent RoboCop game?
The one on the iPhone that has the new movie.
Okay, what's... Besides,
there was an Xbox RoboCop. I think it was only in the UK, and apparently it was very hated. It's not a good game. Like, that's the thing that's weird about like the RoboCop. All the RoboCop games are either really hard or really bad.
Can't they be both?
There actually are some that are really bad and really hard too. That's why they're bad, is because they're really hard. Anyway, but yeah, no, RoboCop versus Terminator, we do have. And don't fucking roll your eyes, you bitch. I'm gonna get hit again.
I'm gonna kick
you. Which brings me into the comics, because probably the most famous RoboCop comic there is the RoboCop versus Terminator comics that Frank Miller actually wrote them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they have a really cool storyline. Like the original RoboCop versus Terminator comics, the storyline is that somebody goes back in time to kill RoboCop. And then a Terminator shows up and kills her. And he can't figure out, like, well, why did that woman die? Like, why was she trying to stop me from just kind of living? And he goes back to the police station, and he interfaces with a computer. And when he interfaces with the computer, he becomes a part of Skynet. Skynet uses, like, his human brain to launch the Skynet, like, Judgment Day nuclear holocaust. So RoboCop is the reason for Judgment Day.
Well, that's shitty.
Yeah. And
way to blow it.
Yeah. And then what ends up happening is RoboCop in the future, because his brain, like his consciousness goes into the computer, in the future during the war when all the humans are dead, like the John Connor and Kyle Reese and all that shit, like the future war. His brain wakes up then, and what he ends up doing is, because he's basically in charge of the computers, is he rebuilds his body out of Terminator parts. And he uses, like, the skin that they use for, like, the fake Terminator skin, like the Arnold skin.
I get it.
To make his face again, so he's still fucking RoboCop. But he's, like, super advanced future RoboCop. And he makes an army of RoboCops, and then he fights the Terminators. And then he stops the Terminators in the future. And what he ends up doing is he encases himself in a ball of flesh. Because remember, according to Terminator rules, you can't go back in time. You can't send anything metal back in time. That's why they go back in time with skin on. So he goes back in time in like a ball of skin. And he stops the Terminator in the past from basically starting the whole thing in motion. And then like vaporizes because he's now a time paradox. But then the original RoboCop from the beginning of the story just kind of goes on with his day. So he stopped everything from happening. RoboCop saved humanity. And that's the original RoboCop story. RoboCop versus Terminator.
It's not the original RoboCop story. It's the original RoboCop versus Terminator story.
I corrected myself. Were you even listening, or were you looking at your fucking toes again?
I listened. That's why I was correcting you.
Yeah, but I just finished correcting myself.
You didn't correct yourself very well.
I word for word said exactly what you said. No. I said, I'm sorry, I meant the RoboCop versus Terminator story. Let's play that back. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, there are other RoboCop comics. There was actually...
How many RoboCop comics are there? Because I know there was like 3 in the time that I worked at a comic store, and that was 6 years.
I'm only going to talk about 2 more.
Was it 7 years? No, 6 years.
Don't even worry about it. 6 years. Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk about 2 more. There was a RoboCop comic at Marvel in the early 90s, and I ended up with 1 issue of it. And I remember it was... He fought a modern-day Jack the Ripper.
There's just a lot of serial killers in general he could have fought.
Yeah, he fights them all in that issue because he chases the guy who's the Jack the Ripper into a museum of gangsters and serial killers. And then he fights a bunch of like robot serial killers.
Okay, why would you make robot serial killers? That seems like a really bad plan.
They were supposed to be like Lincoln, you know, like, oh, score at the Disney store, you know, that
kind of
shit.
Try the churros.
Yes, exactly. And then he kills the dude with the spike at the end of the issue. The spike in his hand.
I know, for computing.
You know, in his hand, the spike.
For computing!
The computing spike. He uses that to stab the guy.
I get it!
In his hand.
Don't you?
Yeah, and that was an early 90s Marvel comic. I never read another issue of it, but I read that comic until it exploded.
God, you love RoboCop.
I love RoboCop.
Why do you marry him?
I could have sworn that I made that abundantly clear.
Why don't you just marry him?
Because he's not real.
That's the only reason.
Right. There's another RoboCop comic that from the later 2000s I remember reading where the ending of the comic is the part that sticks with me is where they made Ed 309s, and at the end of the series, the miniseries that it was, Canada bought a bunch of Ed 309s to protect them from the United States.
I don't think I'd buy American tech to protect me from the Americans. So because, like, with all the computer chips these days, they could just be like, beep, done.
Yeah.
Now, protecting the North against Russia? More logical.
Yeah. But those are the RoboCop comics I've read. There's significantly more. There's actually been even later RoboCop versus Terminator comics. Dynamite has the RoboCop license, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a RoboCop versus Terminator comic. And the Terminator that they used, because they had the rights to use it, is the Arnold Terminator. So their comic is the only time that RoboCop has crossed over with the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. Not because in the original story, it's just the fucking skeleton, the robot skeleton. Like that one over there on the shelf with my RoboCop.
Yeah, why do we have 2 RoboCop toys?
We don't. We have a RoboCop and a Terminator.
Oh.
Stupid. You don't know the difference? You don't know the difference between a RoboCop and a fucking Terminator? Oh, wait. That's right. You haven't fucking seen Terminator.
Nope. Or two. Or three.
I know. That's what I meant by...
Or that other new one. But I saw the newest one where Christian Bale lost his shit. That's the lighting guy.
That's the fourth one.
No, because there's another one.
No.
With Claire Danes.
That's the third one.
And
you said you didn't watch that one.
What's the one with, like, Nick Stahl?
That's the third one.
I thought they had a different third one.
No, there's one third one, and it has those two characters in it.
But I thought there was a one that came out in, like, the 90s.
Two of them came out. Actually, no, one came out in the 90s.
Which one?
The Terminator came out in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
like 84.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator 2 came out in 91, 92.
Wow, that was a long time between sequels.
Yeah. Terminator 3 came out in 2001, 2 or 3, one of those. I think it was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And then Salvation.
That's when I saw.
That's when you saw. Came out in like 2010, I
didn't
think.
Love it.
Not a lot of people did. I thought it was okay. They chickened
out. I had
no
idea what was going on.
They chickened... Well, it's the fourth one. No wonder you didn't have any fucking clue what was going on. They chickened out. They changed the ending because it leaked.
Why? Like, what was the original ending?
The original ending was John Connor was going to die, and they were going to put his skin on the robot dude. Remember fucking the guy from Avatar who was the robot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Connor was supposed to die, and then they were going to put his skin... on the fucking robot, because there always has to be a John Connor, and then the robot would be John Connor from that point on. But that ending leaked, so what they did instead was they used the robot's heart to bring John Connor back, and then the robot died.
Oh yeah.
So they chickened out.
I don't think his skin would be very good.
Well, they could probably just use the fake skin that the robots use,
okay,
and make it look like
him. Because like, in Silence of the Lamb, that guy's skin suit was really bad.
Well, probably just didn't preserve it well.
But it didn't, like, shape very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think of the Edgar suit in Men in Black, that was pretty sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't fit very well. Skin suits don't fit well. It doesn't fit anybody but yourself.
Right.
That's why it's your skin.
That makes sense. On that note, I think it's time. Spoiler time. We can talk about the new movie.
Oh, my God! I solved this movie in about four lines of dialogue. I fixed it. It's broke, and I fixed it.
So, last chance to back out spoilers from this point on for the new RoboCop movie, if that wasn't obvious, because we just spent a whole bunch of time talking about RoboCop. Right?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Laura and I, we went out, and we saw the new RoboCop movie, as evidenced by the fact that we said we were going to talk about that. And so we wanted to record our thoughts, obviously. This is all spoilers again. I just said spoiler warning, but whatever.
Spoilers. We get it, dear.
Yes. So, new RoboCop movie. We see it. What are your immediate thoughts on it? Are they positive or are they negative?
Mixed.
Yeah.
Mixed is probably the best. It's, as a movie, it has flaws.
Yeah.
As a RoboCop film, it had RoboCop.
Yeah.
It had a lot of RoboCop, which is, you know, obviously a plus for RoboCop film.
Makes sense for a RoboCop film to be full of RoboCop.
Hey, you never know. They could have, like, not had it full of RoboCop.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should talk about first what we liked about it.
Okay. I like that they took the story in a somewhat unexplored region from other RoboCop movies. The family has never been a major point of the other RoboCop movies. I mean,
they
basically glaze over the family in the other RoboCop movies. Like, in the very first one, it's like, oh, he had a family. They think he's dead. They moved away. And that's it. Like, he could have picked up a phone. And then in the second one, she shows up, like, the wife shows up, and they're like, oh, she comes here all the time to just stare at you. And then he goes over and he's like, I'm not your husband. Go away. And that's... Well, he does it to be nice, right? Because she's tortured. Like, she's like, oh, is he going to be there anymore type of thing. So he's just like, I'm actually just a machine. Go away type of thing.
Yeah, he
and
was
that's
a lot more human than the original RoboCop.
Yeah, like, there's definitely, like, the original RoboCop was they took a dead guy and they're like, oh, it's got human parts. And then this one, it was like, oh, well, he's still alive and he thinks. And that was the whole point. Was
it
that
was kind of, okay, so again, remember, spoilers.
Yeah.
It was neat to see what he looks like under the suit fully, which is ugly and gross.
Yeah, because the way that I had thought about how he would look under the suit, because they show, they released screen caps from the movie of them standing in front of that footage of, like, the picture of him where he's, like, missing one leg and one arm.
Yeah.
But the rest of him's still there. And I'm like, well, how much of him is in there? Because then he's fucking Cyborg Cop, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if he's just got one robot leg and a robot arm, then, you know, what the hell? Which explains why he has the one hand. And then they took all the parts away. And it was like,
and
left the hand. And then it was
explained why he had a hand.
Yeah. And then it was like, now it makes even less sense for him to have the hand.
I have to say, my favorite part of the film was Mr. Gary Oldman.
Of course.
Who plays the doctor and acts the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. And his acting is way better than the rest of the movie combined. Like, not just the actors. Like, the other actors, don't get me wrong. The acting is really good. Like, that's one of the things about the movie.
It has a stellar cast.
The cast does a great job with the material they've been given.
It has a better cast than any RoboCop movie should have.
Yeah, that's the thing. But Gary Oldman is a fantastic actor. He's even fantastic in, like, the episode of Friends he was on.
Right.
There's nothing he's done that, weird or not, because he's done some, he does the artistic films and he does the pay the bill films and he plays the films that are in between.
Right.
Like, he's all over the map as an actor, and this is a pay the bill film. But he doesn't slouch as an actor. He doesn't be like, well, I'm here for my paycheck. He still does a great job. Mm-hmm. And he never doesn't do a great job.
I also felt that Samuel L. Jackson was a fairly strong...
He was, but the thing was, I found his segments, the first one, okay, that was a cool intro. Second, okay, good to keep it. Third, fourth, fifth. So I'm like, okay, fucking stop.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the modern day equivalent of the news breaks that were in the original.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
In the original, though, it was straight up like, here's your local news.
Yeah.
But in this, it was like, here's Bill Riley, you know?
Bill O'Reilly.
Whatever, I don't give a shit. I don't like that guy.
Now, speaking of local news, one of the things I didn't like about the film...
Okay.
Although most of it... Not even most of it, like 50% of it really, is set in Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit isn't a character like it was in the previous film.
Right.
Like, in the original RoboCop, Detroit is just as much a character as the rest of... you see Detroit, you see how shitty it is being in Detroit.
Yeah, one of the main reasons for them needing a RoboCop in the first place is to clean up Detroit so they can make Delta City.
Yeah. And that isn't an aspect in this one. Like... The parts that he does spend in Detroit, it doesn't talk about how, like, it doesn't show any Detroit without him being part of it.
Right.
Which is kind of makes it lacking that, like, we don't see that rape, murder, you know, assault, robberies, the whole kit and caboodle in Detroit are rampant and horrible. And, you know, the city is not that important. Like, it could have been set in Hamilton for all we know.
Yeah.
Now that leads into my next part.
Well, actually, really quickly, I wanted to tag up on your Detroit speech. In the original film, it's basically like Detroit is a no man's land, chaos, crazy town.
With no law. And like,
yeah.
And that's it. And cops are dying
every
day on the streets. That was the other thing. Like, cops are literally dying every day in Detroit, and they want something different because the cops are dying all the time.
Yeah. And like, even though RoboCop is, you know, doing a good job in taking out bad guys, it's still, like, not helping. It's like throwing a bucket of water at a wave, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to change the course of the wave. But in this, he, like, solves crime overnight.
Yeah, it's like crime goes down 80%. It's like Batman showed up.
Yeah, which is like, oh, okay, like, way to go, RoboCop, I guess. But it was you know, that element of the war to save Detroit was like, oh, well, he saved Detroit 2 weeks ago, you know? Like,
yeah, like that part of the film is non-existent.
But you wanted to say about the local stuff.
That was actually one of my other favorite parts of the film is seeing so much of my hometown in it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really my hometown, but where I live. Like, there's
where,
a ton.
Yes, your current hometown.
There's so much Hamilton in it. We were picking out landmarks left, right, and center. We went and saw them film a few scenes.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I stood and watched for like 20 minutes while they were filming across the street from our apartment. They were filming across the street, and I was waiting for that scene. I'm like, here it comes. Okay, nope. And I saw him at a building called the Royal Connaught, which is an abandoned hotel here in the city. Fancy old building, and there's cop cars all around in the film. And he was dragging, he was arresting a perp, was essentially it, in front of these cop cars, and his bike was there and the whole thing. And I saw him in the suit, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
And they cut that scene down to one flash on a news report.
It's like 3 frames.
Yeah. I was like, wow. It's
like, it's during the Novak report when he's like, yeah, RoboCop's great. And then it just shows him like, turn. And that's it.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's definitely the spot. Good job, RoboCop.
Yeah, because you could tell because of the tree.
Yeah.
There's a tree in the background, and I'm like, those are the trees that sit in front of the Royal Connaught.
Yep. 100%, that was it, and that was all that made it into the... But that's how filming is.
Yeah,
you know?
And the scene that we went together, because I only saw them filming the one night, and you saw them a couple times,
I didn't seek them out. They were just there. I would be going grocery shopping, and it'd be like, oh, ma'am, you can't cross the street
because
here.
They were filming RoboCop.
And I'm like, yeah. I want to go home. Mm. Like, it's either I cross the street here, or I have to walk up, like, 4 blocks before I can get home again. Can you just let me go home?
Mm.
And then a cop was like, yes.
The scene that we saw them filming was from the beginning of the movie when he's telling the chief, it's his flashback of what happened to Lewis when they go to meet the gunrunner in the restaurant, and then the gunfight breaks out, and it's like the rainy night. That was where we saw them filming. The rain was made up. I mean, it's Hollywood magic. But the thing was, is we saw that scene, and we talked about it.
Hollywood magic is a hose.
We talked about it. It's a hose with a thing on top of it to make it spray in every direction instead of just up and down. But we talked about it on an earlier episode. We saw all sorts of stuff there that we thought was going to be part of the movie. Like the one wall had this like giant graffiti that said Free Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the movie just long enough for us who knew it was there to see it.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't tell that it said Free Detroit. But
I didn't
see
it. I was looking for it and I didn't see it. And that's the thing. That's how little it was in the film.
There was another moment that we saw when we were there live. There was like a graphic on the wall of a building that was like advertising like a church or something, and that didn't even show up. Like the church graphic didn't show up. There was a sign that they had installed on the corner, and we didn't even see that. Like you didn't even see the sign. That scene is fairly in the movie. Like we weren't there when they filmed it, because it's funny because the establishing shot for that scene was when they're pulling up in front of the restaurant at night, in the rain. Where we were standing when we watched them filming is in that shot. Like obviously we're not in it. They filmed it a different night. Or well after we had left, because the spot that is in the shot is where we were standing.
Yeah.
So
they were clear. They would clear people out.
Oh yeah, obviously they would just leave the crowd of people there watching.
But so it was neat to see stuff in the film. Now, as much as it was an R-rated film,
mm-hmm.
it had a lot of problems. My biggest problem is there wasn't really a cohesive plot that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like. In the sense that no character truly had a good motivation. Again, maybe the best part about Gary Oldman's character, beyond him being Gary Oldman, is mm-hmm. that he had some motivation.
Right.
He was a doctor working in cybernetics to improve people who's had amputations' lives. Like, that was his goal, is to improve the lives of amputees.
Yeah.
And that is an actual, like, motivation for... And it makes sense for his character. His assistant... Her motivation was his assistant.
Yeah.
Good motivation. Makes sense. And nobody else has really good. This film, I solved. I fixed this film.
In the car ride home, Laura solved the movie.
In the car ride home, I fixed this movie.
With like 3 lines of dialogue.
Because Michael Keaton's character, he plays the boss of Omnicorp, which is OCP. He plays the CEO. And he's the one who's responsible for this RoboCop getting made in the first place, obviously. And then obviously he's going to turn out to be bad. Like, that's just, you know, how the movie's going to. Yeah. But he has no reason to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
He hasn't actually, he's a your typical amoral CEO, but he doesn't do anything illegal, corrupt. All he's doing is he's put the RoboCop on the streets to encourage the U.S. to allow more robot police officers so he can make money.
Yeah.
His only goal is to increase the shares of his company, which is the goal of any CEO. He doesn't do it illegally. He maybe tries to coerce the public into liking his idea, but he doesn't.
That's just spin. Every company does that.
Exactly. It's literally, he's just marketing.
Yeah. The only thing that he does that's actually like, because we had a discussion about this, his character is immoral, not evil. And the only thing that he does that's actually villainous is, oh, well, we have a problem that would be solved by Murphy being dead. Maybe we make him dead? Like,
yeah,
that's
like,
it.
I guess that works. Like,
that's the only point in the movie that he does anything
until the very end where
evil.
He's like, oh, by the way, I'm actually evil.
Yeah, because he's like, because he even does stuff where he's like, oh, bring the family up here. It'll be okay. Oh, we'll put them on the helicopter first. And then out of nowhere, he's like, I'm going to point a gun at your family. Like,
yeah, like
whoa, where did this come from?
It makes no sense. But, and then, like, so he's like the big bad, but there's like the little bad.
Who's Valen.
Yeah, he's the...
He's like the Clarence Boddiger of this film.
Yeah, he's the guy who, like, runs drugs and guns in the city, and he's got corrupt cops under his... like wing. Now here's the thing.
And he's also the mob guy in charge of that kills Murphy, which is another parallel.
Yeah. So that's okay. That's fine. But again, there's not really any motivation shown to why the corrupt cops are working for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess their motivation is they're corrupt cops.
Yeah, but like.
Yeah. They're stereotypes. That's what their motivation.
There isn't. Okay, it's like okay. There's not that much there. But you know how you could have fixed Michael Keaton's character to make him actually corrupt, make Valens work for Michael Keaton, and then all the corrupt cops are also working for Michael Keaton, and they're working together to get these robots on the street, and so that way their corruption is never found out because there's no cops to investigate their corruption.
Yeah.
Now,
congratulations, Laura.
I solved most of the movie here. There's another problem with the movie. At the very beginning, it shows them in Tehran.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, like, and they're, like, doing a news report of the robots are, like, making sure that all the citizens on the street are, like, not evil.
Yeah.
And not going to blow them up, which is great. No problem. They're obviously oppressive, which you can see through the news report alone. You don't even need, like, anything else to see that it's oppressive. And then these guys from Tehran are like, well, we have to make sure when we do this, we get on camera. We have to have the world see it. We have to get on camera. You know, when we die. Like, okay, and they run out and they get killed by the... Like, they've got suicide vests on and they get shot to death by the robots. Okay, you want to know how you could have, like, tied that better to the plot? Michael Keaton's company has come to these men and said, listen, we need an example for TV that these robots work. If you sacrifice yourself, nobody will get killed except you. Everything will be fine. Your family will be fine. We guarantee we will take care of your family's like education, medical, financial, all their needs from here on out. Your family will never want for anything if you sacrifice yourself on TV for this.
Right.
Because anyone who loves their family and is in a situation like that would probably consider it. They'd probably be able to find at least a couple guys willing to do it, especially if they had a sick kid. If that guy's kid obviously had fucking cancer, like, that would make OCP even more evil because it's like, man, that guy's kid has cancer and, you know, OCP has been like, we'll cure your kid's cancer if you kill yourself on TV. He'd be like, all right. Like, a dad would do that. That's just your typical dad movie role. Like, that's something a dad in a movie would do. Happened in Star Trek.
Okay.
Spoilers for Star Trek. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have worked. And then, you know who looks super evil? Michael Keaton.
True. To be fair, I took a different route from that scene. Like, to me, it was, yes, the robots are oppressive. That's why the suicide bomber guys
were
being suicide.
But you could tell
suicide,
they were oppressive without even getting the suicide
I know,
part.
I know. But,
if,
I mean, that
anything,
was...
If anything, it only makes the robots look better because there's still problems on the street.
Well, no, but it adds to the scene in the sense of the suicide bombers stop the oppressive robots, or try to stop the oppressive robots, and the robots, you know, blow them up, which makes the robots look like heroes or sense to the TV audience, right? Because they stop the suicide bombers. But then the kid comes out and gets blown away, much in the sense by the Ed 209, like Kenny got killed in The Office, to show that the robots don't give a fuck. They just fucking kill, like... no matter you know what, like I mean, in the original in the original RoboCop, it's a glitch that it fucked up, and still thought he was a threat. But in the sense of like, it doesn't care. The robot doesn't care. There's no thought into this is a child holding this knife. It just was like, fuck this kid. He's got a knife. Blow him away. You know, it was to show that like the oppressive nature of the Ed 209.
But that's the world could already see how oppressive it was, so it didn't.
It didn't need the suicide bombers, is what you're saying.
Really? If we were going to add suicide bombers, you could have made the scene much more important to the actual plot.
Right.
I have fixed the plot of this movie in 3 or 4 lines of dialogue. I kind of want to write the company who made the movie and been like, if you had to give me a chance to look over the script ahead of time,
right,
I could have fixed it with one rewrite for $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, because so many movie companies just drop rewrites to first-time writers who have never written
you
a movie
never
script
know.
Before.
I fixed the movie.
Well, I'll email this to somebody. And...
They had serious flaws with the plot, and each scene was too condensed and too short. And another important so you know how Detroit was an important character that really wasn't a character in this one? You know who else was an important character in the original and wasn't really in this one? Lewis.
Yeah, but
Lewis was also a black dude, not a woman.
I know, but I
and there was no obligatory nudity.
Well, yes, because this is a PG-13 movie that they needed to sell action figures for. That's why there's no obligatory nudity. But I think the fact that they made Lewis a guy instead of a woman and less focus on Lewis is because the wife fills that role.
Oh, see, I was going to be like, because they want to keep the black man down.
Okay. And you're the one that accuses me of being racist.
No, I'm saying the filmmakers are racist.
Down. Why?
Because they're trying to keep the black man down.
But they didn't keep the black man down. They made the role for a black man.
Yeah, to
they
keep
kept him up.
Down.
To
no,
keep
they,
him down. They put him in the role
first
to
shoot
take him,
him
out.
And then he doesn't do squat. I mean,
Lewis gets shot in the original and she's a woman.
It's violence against women. That's terrible.
Okay.
This tea's pretty good.
I'm glad you're enjoying your tea. But yeah, no, I think the wife takes over some of the original Lewis's, you know, importance, I guess you could say.
I guess.
What was I going to say? Well, you know what? I guess I could just go into is something. You know, like you heard me rant about this, so you know that this is a major stickler for me. What the fuck was with the use of licensed music in this movie?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was. We were in the car on the way home, and In Repair Peace came on. And you just off the cuff would be like, this would have made a better end credit song. And it's like, God damn it, you're
it
right.
It really
this
does.
This made a much better
it,
end
it really
credit
does.
Song.
Like, looking at the end credits song, which is...
Song?
Shut up.
Man, this movie got spicy.
The end credits song, which was I Fought the Law by The Clash, that makes it into a fucking joke.
Yep.
And like, I get it. Like, I love that song. It's a great song, but putting it at the end of the RoboCop movie makes it a joke.
Yep.
That movie could have ended with the RoboCop theme, the triumphant fanfare that we all know, which they incorporated into the movie in a few places. But I don't. It would have had much more impact to just go with that theme at the end. A nice little triumphant march at the end of the movie.
Yep.
Because the fucking RoboCop theme is amazing. And you know what? they actually didn't massacre it when they put it in. Like, they didn't turn it into some kind of dubstep remix or anything. They just added little flourishes to it, but mostly kept it the same when it did show up. So I do appreciate that. But another thing is Hocus Pocus. In the song Hocus Pocus in the China Gun... That was the song with the yodeling when he was in the gun battle in China with... It was the first time that he was doing, like, in the black suit.
Okay.
When he fought all the robots in China.
And they had a different song when they actually, like, did a clip for that
online. No, it was the same song. It was the same song because I remember... It was the first clip they released, and I'm like, that was awful. I didn't want to see the movie when I saw that clip because it is an awful use of licensed music. RoboCop doesn't need licensed music. If they put licensed music, like, coming out of somebody's boombox in a car, that makes fucking sense. But... for RoboCop to be shooting robots to a rock song from the 70s with yodeling makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, and the only time that the licensed song worked in any sense, and I know that I was like, you make it into a joke and it's stupid. In this case, it was actually meant to be a joke, was when he played If I Only Had a Brain the first time that they did.
That was funny.
That was funny, and it made sense.
Yeah.
But the rest of the licensed music uses made no sense.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that guy is so in love with, like, his robot soldiers. Wouldn't he love, like, an upgraded model that does whatever it's supposed to? He hates RoboCop.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because it's literally,
I could see him being like, it's replacing my robots. But the whole point is to get more robots on the street, not more RoboCops on the street.
I know. That's what it was.
So,
The motivations for every character are flawed. Every single one, except for Gary Oldman.
Mm.
Speaking of gunfights, there is a scene in that movie where I'm going to give you a warning right now. If you see this movie, there should be a seizure warning in this movie. There is a shootout scene
in the dark
with more bad music.
Yeah.
And it flashes red, white, and black the entire time, and it's like at least 5 minutes long.
Well, they had to incorporate that red so that people didn't have seizures. If it was just black and white flashing, then they could have them.
Really?
Yeah. Adding a little bit of color changes it, the flash
lights. I felt sick to my stomach.
Well, I know you did.
Like,
I'm not
after
denying
about
it,
10
but that's
seconds,
why they do that shit.
I felt sick to my stomach from this stupid scene.
And you covered your eyes for the rest of the shot.
And then the thing is, it would get really quick, because there's, like, obviously the pop, 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 pop of machine guns. So it would stop, and I'd be like... And I would take my hand off my eyes, and it would start again, and I would feel sick all over again. I'd be like, all right. That happened like 4 times. It was like, fucking end the gunfight.
I was so mad. When we were leaving, you were like, that gunfight scene, if it was 30 seconds, I would have been okay with it. But it was like 10 minutes long. And I'm like, that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
It was too long.
It was maybe like 2 minutes, but it was still too long. It definitely didn't need to be that long.
It was atrocious. Okay, now... important question.
Mm.
The actor who played RoboCop. Pass or fail?
I'll give him a pass.
As RoboCop? Pretty good. As Alex Murphy? Not so great.
I didn't like him as Alex Murphy at all. Once he did the RoboCop stuff, like, even when he was doing... like, because when they drug him so that he's, like, docile... and then he goes into full RoboCop mode.
Yeah.
Like, he did a really good job with all of that stuff. But at the beginning, when he was, like, Alex Murphy detective beat cop, I was like, this guy's a dick. I don't like this guy.
I didn't like that guy at all.
Yeah. Like, they don't even establish for a very long time that he was, like, a good father or anything. Like, there's one moment where he's like, how's the hockey game? Go to bed, son. You're the best. Like, that's it, you know?
It's like, how's the hockey game, son? Yeah, now go to bed. I want to nail your mom.
Yeah, I want to have sex with my wife to show that I love her. You know, like that.
Well, he's not going to have sex with his son to show he loves
him. No, but what I mean is they
What's
needed...
What's wrong with you?
I'm not saying he should have had sex with the son. What I'm saying is they needed a sequence for both characters for him to just be like, hey, here's the moment that shows that I love this person so that when I get blown up in the next sequence, you'll be like, oh, but he has that kid that watches hockey with him and the wife that he has sex with.
What did you think of how he got injured?
Stupid. The original RoboCop, like, massacre scene is fucking phenomenal.
But the thing with that RoboCop, I remember the first time I watched RoboCop with you.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd seen part of it as a kid. I can't remember.
Mm.
But I remember thinking, I don't want to say he had it coming, because obviously nobody's got that sort of thing coming. But it's like, he was an idiot for walking in there like he did.
Because he went in by himself,
He went in by himself. He was underarmed compared to the people he's going up against.
But that comes down to the fact that, like, they establish in the scene beforehand that there's no one to come help. And that they don't have the equipment because Detroit's war on crime is going poorly.
Yeah.
Like, so he has to work with what he has.
The thing is, like, he made the wrong choice of going in like he did. Like, he blew it. This guy didn't.
Also, they made a much better job of making Murphy likable in, like, the first 2 minutes of seeing Murphy, like, in the original RoboCop.
Yeah.
All he does is have a coffee and chat with his partner. And he's a much more likable guy than the Murphy they show in the movie.
Yeah, so as Alex Murphy, not great. As RoboCop, he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. I gotta hand it to him. That woman who plays the police chief, is she a police chief in everything she does?
No, but she's been in a lot of stuff.
She's usually like a hard-nosed woman administrator.
Yeah, usually. I think she's been principal like 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been like head nurse. Like, you know, she's always kind of the woman in charge. Dante, it's my toe.
Mm-hmm. He's soaking wet, by the way. Something else that I wanted to say about the RoboCop in general was you don't see a ton of it in the trailer stuff, but the silver RoboCop that they have, like the rebooted RoboCop. I liked that design. I didn't hate it. Like, it was I mean, looking at, they're rebooting RoboCop. You know that they have to make decisions to reboot it for the modern age. And I felt that the silver version that they made was decent. Like, if he'd run around in that outfit for the entire movie, I would have been pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they go with the black reason for, the movie. You're like, it's more tactical.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's not... But even that, Michael Keaton's like, he puts his hand on his chin, he goes, let's make it black. And that's the only reason they're given.
Yeah.
Nobody's reasons are explained. Instead, the movie just jumps from blip to blip, 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 blip. And it just doesn't give you a chance to absorb any of the material you're viewing. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, like, let a scene settle in. Like, it's just
right.
Like, done.
Like, there's plenty of teases at the end of the movie for a possible sequel, and they kind of set it up at the end that he goes back to the silver costume.
Which
so,
is pretty cool.
So I do hope that if there ever is a sequel, he goes back, like, he takes the silver version. You know, because they like that looked good when he's running around in that factory with the visor down. He looked great. That one bit where he jumped over the wall was kind of weird. That part has always been very iffy for me. I don't know why. But the rest of it looked fine. Mm-hmm. Like the Ed 209s looked decent. Like,
I had to laugh the first time we see an Ed 209. I was like, they're not claymation.
Yeah. And you were like, I hope he falls down the stairs.
I did. I wanted him to fall. I wanted an Ed 209.
He did, though, but he didn't fall down the stairs. He fell down the other side of the staircase where it's just open.
Yeah, that... I was really hoping that, like... Because there was a great opportunity for one of those things to just go down the stairs. And,
yeah.
Because they're set up... They're literally set up the exact same way. There's no way something like that could make it down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
Like...
Laura's playing with a cat. I'm trying to think, like, what else we can talk about this movie with. Like, it could have been more ridiculously violent.
Yeah.
Which is one of...
There were a lot of kids in our theater.
It was like, we were the only couple there that didn't have kids.
Are these people here because they couldn't get into the Lego movie? Like,
I guess. Is
that sold out?
Because it was, we did see it technically on a matinee. Like, you know, matinees are usually for, so I'll bring my kid here to kill a couple hours.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, there was a lot of families. We were the only people there without kids. Somebody actually I wrote that on Twitter that we were the only couple there without kids, and somebody commented on it. Tiffany commented that you know of pregnant ladies count. Yeah, so I guess she was inferring that you're supposed to be pregnant.
Nope.
So, but yeah, I mean, like, that was just something that's one of the reasons that I love the original, despite the fact that it's a movie about a robot cop. The fact that it's so over the top, violent, adds to that movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it first of all, it makes it entertaining as crap. Like, it's entertaining as all hell. But the super violence in the original RoboCop adds to the danger of Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, just like, look how crazy violent the city is. And now it's like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, there was
RoboCop shot. Like, if anyone died, in most cases, they were blown up where you couldn't see, like, the body, you know?
And this RoboCop, like, there never really felt like a real threat against RoboCop. Like,
he takes the Ed 209s out pretty, like,
even like the city itself. Like I said, it's like RoboCop. Yeah, he's kicking ass in Detroit, but it doesn't make him look that badass when he's just going around a city and no one is really even close to like standing up to him.
Yeah, like there's a few points in the original RoboCop where people like the Ed 209 takes a poke at him. In the second RoboCop, he gets beaten by a street gang. Like, you know, like they actually take pokes at RoboCop. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not immortal, and then in this movie he's basically immortal because it's like, oh well, you need 50 caliber weapons to beat him, and then like one guy gets them.
Yeah,
you know, like even the OCP cops at the end of the movie, the guys show up and they're like, oh, RoboCop's coming, oh well, let's just use regular guns. Like, not the ones that we know will beat him. Only one guy uses a gun that he knows will beat RoboCop, and then that guy's taken out by somebody else. So I don't know, like, The directive four swap, where it's like, oh, he's a red target, you can't kill red targets, that's decent.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, like that. Like, I liked that idea instead of, like, it made for a good substitution in lieu of the evil, corrupt guy threw that in there. You know, like, it gave them him a reason to not be able to kill the bad guys. I'm just trying to think what else. Like, well, we talked about, like, you asked me what I thought rating-wise, comparing the other films. Why don't you, like, ask me that rundown again?
Okay. Go through. What would you rate RoboCop number one?
RoboCop 1 is a 10 out of 10. I love that movie and everything about it.
What would you rate RoboCop 3?
We're not going to go in order?
This is a challenge.
Okay. RoboCop 3, I'd give a 4. It's pretty awful.
Okay. RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2, I would give maybe 7 or an 8. It's not as fun as the original, but I still quite enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I still think it's a lot of fun.
RoboCop the series.
I'll give it a 4 or 5. Like, it's not, it's the same kind of...
Well, it's got to be enough to go on.
It's
got to
be.
Right?
It's kid friendly, you know. Like, it's for some dumb reason. Well, you know, what's funny is it's kids liked RoboCop because it was R rated and fun. Like, that's why I fucking liked the RoboCop, was because it was super violent. And I'm like, oh shit, they said I swear. That's right. I said, oh shit, and then I was surprised they said I swear. Like, that's why kids found RoboCop cool, was because they were R rated movies, right? And then they were like, oh, shit, kids love these? We'll fucking make it so that the kids can spend their allowance on this shit and bring out the toys, the cartoons. RoboCop 3, it was a PG-13 movie, and the TV show is just as bad. There's that bit that I told you about earlier with the cartoon in it, with Rowdy Roddy Piper, which is weird. But I'll give that a 4. Give that a 4 or a 5. They have some decent ideas in there.
RoboCop... the movie, the new one.
The new movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I give it like a 7. Like a 6 or a 7. There's some.
See,
good...
that's the thing. You said in the car like a 7-8, but now you're down to a 6-7.
No, I said a 7-8 for RoboCop 2.
No,
I said a solid 7.
And now you're saying
I said a solid 7.
Your rating is lower.
It has, well, I don't know. We've talked about some of the flaws with it a bit, you know. So, I don't know. Like, I did enjoy it. Would I watch it again? Yeah. Am I going to tell everybody I know to go out and see it because it's so great? No. If I want to tell anybody to watch anything RoboCop related, I'll tell them to watch the first movie.
You can get the Blu-ray for $10.
That's right. What's he doing? He's in the fucking cupboard over there.
He's just cute.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway. What about you? What about you? What did you, if you get, had to give it a solid number, what would you give it?
6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great, and I really don't have a desire to watch it again.
Okay. I would watch it again.
Well.
So then I guess I'm more to the 7 than the 6 then.
It's just, like I said, Gary Oldman was the best part, and thankfully he was in a fair bit of it, but mm-hmm. a lot of the things that made RoboCop so great are lacking in this film, and the plot is thin at best.
Yeah.
The acting's phenomenal. It would be a 4 if it wasn't for the good acting.
When the lights went up and I turned and I looked at you and you had this face like somebody just farted, I had a feeling that you weren't the biggest fan of it.
Like I said, if it wasn't for the actors, 4. Because the actors, 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Michael Keaton can do a really good bad guy, too. They wasted his potential on this movie. Like, mm-hmm. he could have made a real asshole of a bad guy CEO. He could have played the shit out of that. And he was just CEO guy.
Well, next time, we'll make sure they call you for RoboCop 2.
I'm telling ya!
Anyway, I think that's gonna do it for this week's show. Laura's all tired about talking about RoboCop.
Sorry.
Now we have to watch RoboCop 2.
No! Seriously, I think I'd actually like...
You blocked it out, did you?
I think I did. I was actually gonna say I'd rather watch RoboCop 3, but that's a lie.
We're gonna have to watch that one too.
No!
Send in your feedback to let us know that you wanna watch, want Laura to watch RoboCop 3 and all its awfulness. Anyway, thank you guys for sticking with us for 100 episodes.
You're the best.
Holy crap.
Woo-woo.
And I guess look forward to more episodes in the future. We're gonna keep on rolling, and the best is yet to come, I hope.
Doubtful.
God, you're such a jerk.
I'm hilarious.
For this week's episode, for episode 100 of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, I am Mike the Fist of Justice Laneman.
And I'm Laura saying, has it really been 100 episodes?
Actually, it's been more if you count the side ones. Like the cat one and the Judge Dredd one and the Bourbon Christmas. I think actually if you look at the real amount of like bonus episodes we've thrown in there, the Bourbon Christmas might actually be the episode 100.
Well, that's a pretty good episode
that
100.
That is a pretty good episode 100. But you know what? I thought this one was pretty good too. So from us here at episode 100 of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, we'll say talk to you guys again in episode 101.
I'll miss you.
We will.
I will.
Okay.
It is my great pleasure to present to you RoboCop.
Who is he? RoboCop. What is he? RoboCop. Where does he come from?
Well, kids, that's all you get. That's it. Read a book.
Tell me about the cat noise.
The cat noise?
Yeah.
The one that Kratos makes?
Yeah.
The...
I don't think that's what it sounds like.
But I here it goes. Just ran by. Like a teeny ninja. Shit. Oh, I'm drunk, babe.
The Untitled Mike and Laura Project is presented in association with ThisWeekInGeek.net. Check out ThisWeekInGeek.net for more geek content, and you can subscribe to all of our content through iTunes or any other podcatcher. If you want to tell us your thoughts on the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, you can give us a call at our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or send an email to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, which I highly recommend you do as we love the feedback here at this show. And then, of course, you can contact us on the Twitters at reply Mike Laidman, at reply Laura underscore Raptor, and, of course, at reply This Week in Geek. Follow us while you're at it. We'll be best friends or something.
Did that sound a lot better in your head?
Yes, it did.
Until next week.
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.